If you want to open your Bibles, you can turn to Daniel chapter 3. I'm really only going to reference the story, the account. I'm not going to read through. We all know, hopefully, some of the details of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and what they faced. They were captives in a strange land, yet they were trying to do the will of God. Daniel and his three friends had found favor in the sight of Nebuchadnezzar through the blessings that God had given them. These three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had been promoted, had been given really administration of the province of Babylon, the capital province of the nation. And in chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar is throwing a national pep rally, bringing everybody together. Everybody's going to feel good. It's going to be great. National unity. He sets up a golden image, and he brings officials from all over. From every province, he brings them together. And I can see multiple reasons for this, but two of the ones that I think stand out is Nebuchadnezzar probably wants to make sure there's no dissidence among the officials. When I say bow down, you will bow down. And also to show everyone there that he means what he says, because he had some furnaces set up, you know, right off to the side. If you don't do this, you will be burned alive. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when it was time to bow down, refused to bow down. And again, I think most of us know the story. Nebuchadnezzar became enraged. I think maybe he was hoping someone wouldn't bow down so he'd get to use those furnaces. But when it was these three, the ones he had appointed himself over the capital province, it was too much for him. I think he became enraged over that. And, of course, the response they gave, which was, you can throw us into the furnace, but we're not going to bow to your God. And so, of course, he binds them, throws them in. Nebuchadnezzar looks. He sees four walking around, not just three. And he calls them. He says, come out. So they come out. Nebuchadnezzar is amazed because he had said before he threw them in fact, when he was threatening them, what God can deliver you from my hand? He had no concept of a God that could do that. And yet they come walking out of this furnace that he had stoked seven times hotter than it had been. And I do want to read verse 29 of Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar says, therefore I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. I want you to think about what happened, contrasted against what Nebuchadnezzar had planned. He wanted all these officials to come. Maybe someone doesn't bow when the music's played, throw them in the furnace. Right? Let's play the music again, and let's see who doesn't bow this time. If somebody doesn't bow, throw them in the furnace. You keep playing the music until they all bow. And the message that's sent out when these people all go home is, you don't mess with Nebuchadnezzar. He's serious. And he has the power to carry out what he wants to do. But what is the message that went back with these men? How many of these men and women, who knows, went back to their homes and said, oh, this golden image was fantastic. It was shiny. It was great. Nebuchadnezzar is so powerful. I would suggest that there were none that went home talking about Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. They went home and said, we saw three men thrown into a furnace, bound, and the ropes that bound them burned off, and they came walking out. And here's proof. We've got a decree from Nebuchadnezzar himself saying we can't say anything against that God. And it gets posted everywhere in the kingdom. What did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do to accomplish such a great change of events? What powerful work did they do? They refused to bow. It's the only thing they did. They just refused to bow down. Actually, Nebuchadnezzar did most of the work. He set up the furnaces. He brought everybody together. He sent the decree out. Most of the physical work was done by Nebuchadnezzar. These three men of God refused to bow. And God said, I'm going to use this opportunity to glorify my name. Now the lesson for us, I think it's crystal clear. God doesn't expect some great physical work that we need to accomplish. Some huge manifestation to offset these golden images that are surrounding us. God expects us to obey. And when others are bowing to other gods, we don't. And when it's time to bow to our God and show respect to Him and pray and offer up sacrifices to Him, that's what we do. Because when we do that, He accomplishes His purpose. He used these three men in their obedience to accomplish His purpose. That is the God that we serve. When we do His will, He uses us to accomplish His purposes. We may never be thrown into a fiery furnace and come walking out. And we may never know really what God accomplishes with our obedience. But we can know that this is the God that we serve. So my encouragement to you is, if you're a Christian, this is the God that you serve. Just obey. Obey what He says, and He will use you to accomplish good. And if you're not a Christian, this is the God you could serve, if you choose to. And as Nebuchadnezzar wrote in his decree, in his almost total ignorance, there is no other God who can save. This is the only God who can save. Thank you.